Perhaps you're looking for something to pass your self-quarantine time. How about a Jesse Eisenberg double feature, and you don't even have to go out? The actor has two films coming out Friday on digital and video on demand. In The Lovely Resistance, Eisenberg plays the great French mime Marcel Marceau. As a young man during World War II, a member of the French Resistance who used his skills and imagination to rescue hundreds of Jewish children orphaned by the Nazis. True story. In this scene, he teaches a group of children how to hide.
Now, have you seen a squirrel hide? A squirrel. The squirrel does not find a place to hide in the tree.
No. The squirrel finds a place to hide
where she can become a part of the tree.
And then there is Jesse Eisenberg's other film, Vivarium. Yikes. Jesse and Imogen Poots play Tom and Gemma, an increasingly uncomfortable house-hunting couple, shown a home in a neighborhood where all the homes look just the same, little green boxes. And then there's that realtor, Martin, played by Jonathan Aris.
The living room. A room to live in. Memories will be made in the ample spaces between these walls.
I love the single hue.
Oh, they're laughing now, but soon they're trapped inside that home with a child, not theirs. Someone who's increasingly, what, feral? Did we mention vivarium means animal enclosure? Maybe just what you need in this time of self-quarantine, someone who's worse off than you are. Again, Resistance and Vivarium are out on digital and video on demand this Friday. And Jesse Eisenberg joins us now by Skype. Jesse, you know how weird Vivarium is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like really a kind of a fever dream of a movie where, you know, these characters that are wanting to do kind of all the normal, modern, middle-class things, buy a house, get married, have a child, you know, and live in the suburbs, wind up in the kind of worst nightmare version of all of this stuff. And, you know, it's funny because we were making the movie at a time of, you know, at a time really any other time than this, and just thinking of it as this kind of nightmarish fever dream. But of course, it has some very strange resonance right now where this kind of insidious thing seems to be attacking you and you're stuck inside your house and, you know, and there's no one around. And so, yeah, the movie just, well, you know, as movies often do, take on different resonance when they finally come out.
Well, as I said, it's either going to be exactly what people need to really get into the feelings that they're having of not getting out of the house and decomposing, you know, their hair and their clothes. Or is it your worst nightmare that people might say, the last thing I want to see is people trapped in a house?
Well, you know, obviously it depends on their particular situations. If you have a kind of a case of Schadenfreude, you probably would enjoy watching somebody, as you said, who's worse off than you. But if you, you know, want to get your mind off it, I'm sure there's a million other, you know, things on your queue.
Yeah. Well, but I want to pay a compliment because someone said to me, oh, it's a horror film. And they know that I'm not really drawn to horror films, but I didn't see it as a horror film. I saw it more as a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that's what I call it. I call it kind of more like a cross between Louis Buñuel and, you know, and Black Mirror, Twilight Zone kind of thing, where it takes like these kind of real world symbols, but skews them in a way to create this kind of terror in the characters. But it's not in any way kind of a traditional horror movie with scares and stuff like that.
No, it's like The Truman Show, only really, really, really
dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's Resistance. Now, this tells about a chapter in the life of the great French mime, Marcel Marceau. We read you're the grandchild of Holocaust survivors. That's the springboard for this story. You know, in the beginning, we see Kristallnacht and a family dragged off. Horrifying. Did that have something to do with your decision to make this film? Or?
Yeah, I mean, there were so many unusual coincidences between, you know, this movie and my life. My mother is a birthday party clown. So growing up, my mother put on basically the same makeup as Marceau and performed for children in the way that he is performing, of course, in different circumstances, obviously. And coincidentally, my family is from very close to where Marceau's family comes from in southern Poland. And then what I really love most about the story is that it's really about this artist who was kind of a reluctant hero because he prizes his art so specifically. He thinks of himself as this pure artist and that art should only be done for its own sake. And then as the war kind of heats up and he's asked to come and entertain kids initially, he realizes that he can kind of use his art for the benefit of others. And so he kind of becomes like a hero reluctantly.
Well, it makes you love Marcel Marceau even more if you know him.
Yeah.
But I want to hold that thought for a second, because hold on, your mother was a birthday party clown?
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, clowns to some people are scary. I mean, what was that like to see mom, you know, transform and go off? Are you seeing a therapist, or was that a good thing?
Well, I'm yes, but for other reasons. But my mom was a clown. My dad taught social psychology. And so she kind of was able to, I guess, with his help, tap into what scared kids and avoid those things. So, for example, big shoes scared kids because they're at shoe level. They're small. And those are scary. The fake like nose, that's scary to kids. So I guess with my dad's expertise in groupthink and my mom's ability to entertain, they created kind of a clown that was not scary. And then in terms of like its impact on me, you know, every weekend growing up, I would wake up to the sound of my mom tuning her guitar. And even though she was performing this kind of very silly performance, you know, she took it so seriously. You know, I'd wake up to her meticulously tuning a guitar. And so I think in some way it unconsciously at least taught me that regardless of what kind of performance you're doing, take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's a kind of silly comedy movie or whatever, you take it as seriously as you would take any drama.
That's so fascinating. And so here you are playing Marcel Marceau. Some of us can conjure up the image of the man who often wore the sort of the white bodysuit with maybe the buttons on it and used his hands to indicate that he was in a box that he couldn't get out of, even though there was nothing there. You now have to have that same physicality. And you do. I mean, is that something? Did you have to take lessons for that, movement lessons? How did you come to that?
Yeah, I mean, I studied mime for about 9 months with this wonderful teacher, Lauren Eric Somm. And he's just a fantastic teacher, but not only a fantastic teacher and disciple of Marceau, but also a kind of chronicler of Marcel Marceau's life and of mime in general and the history of mime. And so I had this unbelievable, lengthy 9-month lesson, not only in my routines that I had to learn from the movie, which were choreographed by Lauren, but also I learned the history of mime and got to appreciate the ideas of, you know, this kind of more abstract performance that is, you know, it's not the kind of literal performances that I'm used to either writing or acting in.
Yeah. So two films, one terrifying, and that's Vivarium. One also terrifying, but very sweet, a true story of the chapter of Marcel Marceau's life told in Resistance. Woohoo! You've got two movies coming out. And no one going to movie theaters, and you can't fly on airplanes to promote it. And yeah. So what do you do with that?
It's so surreal. I mean, and I don't have a sense of if people are kind of wanting to watch movies. It feels kind of strange to talk about it. You know, it feels kind of like, oh, talking about something petty in the context of something much bigger. And especially if, like, you know, I'm in the kind of like public conversation once every, you know, year and a half when I have movies come out and I have to do interviews. And so, like, you know, you don't want to be during the time where you feel like kind of irresponsible talking about anything other than washing your hands. And so it's a little strange, but people at some point are going to, you know, I imagine want to engage in some kind of normal activity, even if you're doing it from your couch rather than in a movie theater. And these movies, as you kind of emphasized, have kind of very different approaches to entertainment at this particular moment. You know, one is kind of emphasizing the horrors of this surreal suburban world, and the other one is kind of an uplifting movie of heroism during the war, both not blind to the terrors of the world. And I imagine people want to engage in some kind of, I don't know, normal activity. It seems inevitable. That seems to be the default, isn't it?
Well, Jesse, I also think, well, you could just make believe, you know, okay, nobody's going to go see my movies. I'm going to go write because, yeah. And I think they will see your movies, but you've written 4 plays, short stories. Do you find yourself thinking, or maybe fellow writers thinking, pandemic and presidential election, that's taken. I have to.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's so funny, you know, when the world is all thinking about one thing, you know, like when you're thinking about writing something, you're like, oh, yeah, there's no original thought that I can have about it that hasn't already been thought of by somebody more talented. And so, yeah, and also, what is my take on it that differs from so? Yeah, so unfortunately, in this kind of a moment where everybody is thinking the same thing, it puts a little damper on your own originality.
Right. Well, Jesse Eisenberg, again, the two new films, Resistance and Vivarium, both coming out on digital and video on demand Friday. Jesse, thanks so much and best to you.
Thank you so much for doing this. And yeah, and stay safe. Thank you.
Well, and while a pandemic and a presidential campaign has already been taken, Jesse Eisenberg has been writing. His piece, An Immodest Proposal, performed by actor Richard Kind, is part of the 24-hour plays, viral monologues. We'll link you up, herenow.org.